All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning, church. Can you hear me? Okay. I guess you can hear me. Because I can hear me. I guess you can hear me.
Welcome. Welcome back inside, everyone. Is it fun to be back? Special welcome to our live streaming friends and family who are with us in your living rooms or bedrooms. I don't know. Some of you may have not gotten out of bed yet this morning, and that's fine. There's no judgment here. But it's so good to be together, and we are pumped. Just a few announcements here, just because this is new, right? We're all in the new normal here. Welcome to our precautionary service. In some places, they might call it a safe service, but in the world that we live in, there's no such thing as safe. Everything is risky. But we want this to be the service that is specially designed for those among us who are the most at risk and those who live and work with those that are most at risk. So thanks for bringing yourselves in to this place. Also, just to let you know, typically when we're inside, this is the time that we would take offering. We're just going to kind of reduce contact so we're not passing the offering plate. But if you did bring like real physical gifts, we've got two offering boxes in the back, one on your left on the way out, one on your right. And ignore the what appears to be a dangerous robot in the back. That is our air exchanger machine, gifted here, donated for our use by an elder who's in the business, but it won't grab you, so don't worry. But if you're looking to give, you can do that way. Also, lots of us are given online, which is a lot cleaner.
Yes.
So that's
a lot
fine.
Easier.
That is.
Even for old folks, it's very convenient to give online.
It is. Also, this is Minister Kirkland, by the way. Sometimes... Welcome, Minister Kirkland. Sometimes Pastor Brian gets in business mode, and I'm not very relational.
Yes.
But Keith is an elder here, also a friend, and we're going to dig into the scriptures here. But a couple more things to talk about. Kids. So right now we've got our kids' ministries happening downstairs. Any day that it's nice out, they will kind of move out and play outside because they've gotten accustomed to that here. But also, if you're a parent and you don't want to check your kids in, we've got tables in the back, and we've got coloring things for your kids, and you can just like have them color at the table and be with you. We are a church that values freedom, so whatever you want to do as parents, that is up to you. When we leave this service, because oftentimes we go over here,
yes,
we don't intend to, but sometimes we see the clock and we ignore it. There's going to be people coming in for the 10:40, we're the 9 o'clock, in order to keep us from mixing in the middle. We're going to leave outside of these doors here, and you're just going to go left and left, and then we'll kind of exit out these doors. Not that you have to. We're not militant here. If you want to go out the back and see something in the foyer, you're welcome to. But if those of you who don't have any reason to go back, we'll exit out this way just to kind of keep the services from interacting.
Should we have put a yellow brick road there? Or?
We could. We could get out some yellow tape and just mark it off for everybody. And then last thing is this. So we know some of you guys are like extra at risk. And we're always mindful of just your well-being and wanting to take care of people. And so we realize that we don't want people that are at risk here to feel like if you need extra distance, we don't want you to have to feel like you've come in, you have to sit down, and now you like need to defend your territory and like be defensive. That causes you to be stressful. It's not like a conducive environment to worship and freedom and liberty. So what we've decided to do is to give you a way to communicate to people that you need extra space without having to be, hey, don't sit here, right? And so, Keith, why don't you hold those up for us? We've got some placards in the back that have different sayings on them, and you can grab as many as you want on the way in. This one says, hey, we're in this together as long as you stay over there, okay? And you can put that on the chair next to you. This one says, stop in the name of love, meaning, hey, I love you, but you can't sit here. And then, Keith, what do those guys say?
I am friendly, but stay away.
Yep, I'm friend.
And give me some space, please.
Yeah, so if you're from Texas, give me space, please, right? So each of us have kind of a different flavor for our personalities, but this is just a way for you to, and, right, if some of you guys need a lot of space, and you can put them on the row in front of you, but place as many around you as you need, because we want you to be comfortable so that you can hear from Jesus and not be worried, okay? So feel free to grab those on the way in. Next Sunday. Also, if you need a little extra space right now, both of the front rows are open, so you're welcome to make your way up there even now. Also, just a final thank you to Lisa DiPaolo, who put some masks in the back. I don't know if you're like me, I've been rocking the same mask for 3 months, and it's kind of itching my face. So Lisa, wherever you are, thank you But on the welcome table, we've got these beautiful black masks, and you're welcome to grab one for your needs. Okay, I think that's all the business that we need to attend to.
That's right.
Are you ready to dig into 1 Timothy chapter 3?
Let's dig in.
Okay, so we're in 1 Timothy. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, and we'll be in 1 Timothy 3. And so Minister Kirkland and I are going to do this together, and we'll tell you why here in a little bit. It will make sense why we're doing this message together. And just so you know, now that we're inside and moving more back to normal, we're going to kind of like move back to our normal preaching style where we typically just have one person up here. We'll do this from time to time because we like it, but we've got some things to dig into, and we thought it'd be really good for us to do that together this morning. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, moving in verse 1, and we're going to kind of just chunk a couple verses here and break them apart one at a time. But Minister Kirkland, would you read chapter 3, verse 1 for us, and we'll dig in.
It is a trustworthy statement if a man aspires to office of the overseer. It is a fine work he desires to do.
That's good right there. Mm-hmm. Yep. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task.
It's a noble task.
Right, so Jesus is indicating for us here that a desire to influence other people is a good and a noble desire.
It is absolutely, and it is what he intended for us as believers to be able to do, to be influencers of good character in this world.
Yep. And so think about influence. Even like in the very design that God has knit us in his image, God is an influencer. We bear his image. Here's an example from the cultural world regarding influence. Is anybody on TikTok? Anybody watch TikToks and those things? All right. Some of you guys don't even know what it is. I'm not on it, but I have some friends that are, and sometimes I'll peek over their shoulder. Okay, so has anybody seen the TikTok? TikTok's like a short video of like creative people doing creative and cool things. But have anybody seen the TikTok of the guy on the skateboard drinking cranberry juice, singing the Fleetwood Mac song Dreams? Anybody seen that? Right? So there's a guy who took like a selfie. He's on the skateboard. I only saw like 5 seconds of it over the shoulder of a friend. But he's videoing himself on a skateboard.
Yes. Yes.
With an Ocean Spray cranberry in his hand, and he's like lip syncing. Now there you go again. You say you want that Fleetwood Mac song that everybody loves,
right?
Called Dreams, right? And in that video, right, this guy just took a video and it went viral.
Yes.
And so now what is happening is people are being influenced by
yes.
that, and other people are getting on their skateboard, grabbing the Ocean Spray,
yes.
and singing Dreams by Fleetwood Mac and videoing themselves. Even Mick Fleetwood, the drummer of Fleetwood Mac, was so influenced by this
yes.
that he did his own TikTok of this very same thing, right? That is a glimpse into the influential nature of humanity. God made us,
yes.
and we are influenced by
each other,
right? And it's a beautiful thing. And just I cite that example because I'm a man who loves cranberry juice.
Yes.
Fleetwood Mac is my favorite band, and Dreams is my favorite song. That and Rhiannon, maybe tied. And then skateboarding is cool.
Cool.
Right? So I just like that, right? But we are influencers and we are influenced by each other, right? So Paul says, trustworthy saying, anybody aspires to an office of overseer, he desires a noble task. You want to influence people? Great, that's in God's design for you. Thumbs up for that, right? Now, next, where Paul goes in verse 2 is he's going to go into a list of character traits
mm-hmm.
that are very important if you are going to be an influencer. And this, right, this is so important here. So Minister Kirkland, if you'd read verse 2 and verse 3, and then we're going to break this down and get up into everybody's business, including our own business.
Our own business.
Yeah.
You know, character traits are the basic training. This is where you want this influence to come from. So I'm going to read from God's word here. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, like I've been known to be sometimes, mm-hmm. but gentle, uncontentious, and free of the love of money.
Okay, and then he continues. Right? We don't have time to go through all of the list of character traits that Paul is saying, here's, right, these are deeply important if you're going to be an influencer, right? So here's a question for us. And I've been wrestling with this question more towards the latter half of this week.
Yes.
As the word tends to like just dig and drill in deeper and deeper into our mind and our hearts, or we've been leaning into this. Here's a question for us. I'll ask it to you. What do you want more, right? If you had to make a choice between these two things, would you rather be this kind of person that Paul is laying out here, right? Would you rather be above reproach, right? Faithful in relationships, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, all these things. Would you rather be that, or would you rather be perceived as that by other people? If you had to choose one, either you're going to be this, or you're going to be seen as this by the people around you, right? Or ask it this way. When we wake up in the morning, is our driving passion to be more like Jesus,
yes,
or is it to increase our influence and our positions and to rise so that other people are more impacted by us, right? That's a huge question. Is our driving passion every day to become more like Jesus, right? These character qualities, or to grow in our influence or our elevated positions, right? Here's what Blaise Pascal said, right? Famous scientist and philosopher. Pascal says, if, as human beings, if we are given the choice between being something good or being seen as something good, 10 times out of 10, we choose being seen as that. Because being perceived as a certain way is more important to us than actually being that. That's why we try to like fake each other out and pretend something that we're not, because we care more about being seen as a certain way than we do about being that. Now, what Jesus says is that being this is so much more important than being perceived, right? He wants to change our being, right? So let's just ask it a couple different ways. Think about what you do vocationally, right? Whether you're a stay-at-home manager of your household, or whether you're working in the kitchen and you're a chef, I don't know, whatever it is that you do, would you rather be awesome at that? Would you rather be skilled and wise and just excel at that? Would you rather be awesome at that, or would you rather have success in that if you had to choose? Right? It's a great question. In your relationships, let's ask it this way. Would you rather have the people in your life who you were in relationship with, that could be kids, spouse, friends, roommates, in relationships, would you rather have people that listen to you and do what you want, or would you rather be someone who is worth listening to, regardless of whether people take your advice or not?
It sort of reminds me of what is often referred to as the empty suit, where you have, if you can just envision for a minute, this so-called wealthy person or so-called person of great influence, and they are elevated, but when you look at them, there's really no great character there. And we have to be careful. Each and every one of us has a problem, and that problem is called the flesh. And in modern terms, I would call it what we often refer to as my thing. And oftentimes, we want to influence from a place not of love, not of compassion, not of caring, not of good character, but of my thing.
Absolutely, yep. And so think about it this way, if we have influence, but we do not have character, then the influence that we have on and over people is going to be destructive.
Bad news, bad news.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. That's why, right? Think of what Paul says here. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, regarding the mere talkers, remember them, the false teachers in the beginning? Paul describes them as people who do not have a good conscience. Why do they not have a good conscience? Because they're living lives that are deviant from Jesus' way, right?
Amen.
They're not aligning their lives with the kingdom of Jesus ethic, and so their conscience is being violated, right? That's who these guys are. And so, right, these contaminated conscience people who don't have this character are, right, their character is contaminated, but they're simultaneously trying to elevate themselves and their influence in the church, mm-hmm. right? So yes. they want to esteem themselves and have elevated positions of more people, listen to me, listen to what I say, because I'm smart, right? Not realizing they're an empty suit, right? Yeah. But they want to have greater influence while their character is simultaneously deteriorating. And because of that, Paul says, Timothy, you got to shut these guys up, right?
Sorry,
that's,
shut them down.
That's strong language. That's what Paul says, because when you have someone who has deteriorating character and increasing influence, destructive things are going to happen. And Paul says the church is so important. Timothy, you got to shut these guys down. So like, do not allow these poor character people to have influence over the church. Right now, I'm going to say two things. I'm going to say them quickly once, and then I want to dig into them because I don't want us to miss this, right? The world is filled, and we are part of the world here, right? But the world is filled with people who have corruption embedded in their hearts, and deeply so.
Yes.
And are passionately spreading that in hopes that they can become somebody important.
Yes.
Okay. Lots of YouTubers out there trying to get their numbers up on their channel, right? But they are deeply contaminated people. Whereas, on the other side of the coin, Jesus, right, regarding his character, he's got something else in his heart aside from corruption. In Jesus' heart, there is love and joy and peace and patience. And there's kindness and gentleness. There's self-control. That's what's going on inside of Jesus' heart. And what Jesus is looking to do is not get his numbers up or increase his influence, right? What Jesus is seeking to do is he's looking for some more feet to wash.
Yes.
And he's looking for some more people whom he can lay his life down for.
Yes.
Which he already did.
Yes.
And he wants to apply that death that he died to bring life to as many people as possible, right? Say it one more time. The world is filled with people who have corruption in their hearts and are passionately seeking to spread it, hoping to become somebody, where Jesus has, right, beautiful things in his heart, and he is seeking to wash feet and to die for people, right?
Amen.
There's a huge difference here between the world's way and Jesus' way.
And as we walk as Christ's followers, we should be seeking for the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to display the fruits of the Spirit within us. And those are those characteristics that we describe: the patience, love, long-suffering, forbearance, having a spirit of self-control, not letting your mouth fly off the handle. Now, my wife is here today.
Uh-oh.
Raise your hand, wife. All right. You know, God has been blessing me in a mighty way, because I used to be an incredible influencer from a place of bad character. Mm. And over the years, as the Lord has taught me, and my wife, I hope she'll help me with this little testimony here, it's hard for us to have a really good fight now. And it's not because of her, it's because I asked the Lord to let the fruits of the Holy Spirit change my character.
Wow. That's good.
So that now, when I try to influence my wife, she knows that it's coming from a place of love.
Yep.
Is that right, wife? Raise your hand. You say, all right, yeah, yeah. See.
All right, a testimony there. A shout out. We are all in process. That is a beautiful thing to see.
Yes.
Think about it. So in the context here, like we're big into understanding what's going on here in the scriptures, but the context of chapter 3, in these verses that we're in, like Paul is talking about overseers mm-hmm. or elders, right? Mm-hmm. Church leaders mm-hmm. here. And these church leaders need to be like this, right? But think about this. These qualities are not just for elders in the local church, mm-hmm. right? If you thought the only elders need to be like this, you would be missing the point of what Paul is saying here.
That's right.
Because this is in the context of influence, right? Which means here, right? Here's the point that Timothy says, right? Timothy, you've got some poor character influencers in your church,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to lead the church in a crazy, terrible direction. You've got to shift that. You need to get some high-quality character heavy leaders and make them the influencers, because that's going to be the good thing here, right? And then the idea from there is that these leaders, right, shut up the bad leaders and lift the good ones, that then these people would be carrying, like, their influence as a viral contagion.
Yes.
Like the TikTok guy on the skateboard drinking the cranberry juice.
That's right.
That you get the good character people doing the right things, influencing people, and then what happens?
It explodes in the church.
Everybody else, right? We live in a contagious, we talk about contagions all the time now. This, there are good contagions and bad contagions.
Yes.
And Paul says we need the good contagious people to be there so that everyone can be infected, so that everybody in the church in Ephesus and everybody in the church in Akron can be these kinds of people, right? This is supposed to be all of us. So here's the order. Here's the order of the virus, the contagion spread in Jesus' design. One, it starts with Jesus.
Yes.
He is the most infected, lover, joyful, peaceful, patient, long-suffering, laying his life down, kind. He's it, right? And he carries these things in a heavy way. It's what glory means. He's heavy. He's weighty in all of these things.
Yes.
And then what Jesus wants to do is he wants to cough. Right? And he wants to spread this to some people, and these people would catch it, and then they would become leaders in the local church. And then these leaders in the local church would cough, right? And they would spread it to everybody else who's gathering in the church, and the church would become like infected with this massive contagion of beautiful things, and then the church would cough, and the world around
yes.
would start to catch this viral contagion. And Jesus' prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. As it is in heaven." It's a contagion that starts in Jesus, moves to those that catch it first to become leaders, permeates out to the church, and then the world is supposed to catch this thing, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
how it's supposed to work.
And on an individual basis, when we talk about being influencers of good character, when you're talking to a friend that may be going through some difficulty or may have a complaint, Or maybe running someone down. Mm. Are you going to be the influencer that said, "Yeah, man, they're really terrible.
I
we need to drive them to the ground"? Mm. Or are you going to be that influencer that tries to lift that character? Are you going to be that influencer that tries to encourage or inspire that person to act from a place of love?
What kind of contagion are we going to be?
What kind of contagion are you going to be?
That's good. Now let's dig into a couple of the specifics here, right? Because there's this list, and we're not going to hit all of them. We're just going to hit a few. But so Paul says, right, an overseer, right? Those who are the ones who are the infections among your church. Here's what we want them to be like. First thing is we want them to be above reproach. Above reproach means this. Not that you are perfect. None of us are perfect. Lonnie, you could testify that Minister Kirkland is not perfect, right? We all know that. He's in transition. The hand was raised. Testimony, Minister Kirkland is not who he used to be, but he's also not who he is going to be.
Yeah,
right?
Amen.
We're all in process.
Amen.
Above reproach means that that accusations don't stick.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not living a life where you're like just doing horrible things all the time. People bring accusations, and people of reasonable mind look at that and say, "Yep, that's you. You done that.
Mm-hmm.
You messed up," right? So accusations don't stick because you're living a certain life. Now, what that doesn't mean is that accusations don't come, because the devil is an accuser. He's accusing all of us.
Constantly.
And many times in the world, we align ourselves not with Jesus, but with the accuser, and we accuse each other, right? So accusations will come to you, but the idea here is not that they don't come, but that they don't stick, because we're living lives of such character that we are living beyond reproach. Or above reproach. Next thing he says is that they are the husband of one wife, right? Or a one-woman man. I don't think this means that you've never been divorced, because all of us have histories.
We have histories.
You've got quite a history.
I got a history.
Right? And so, like, we've all got our past, right? But now, right now, from now on, we are faithful in the relationships that we are in.
Yes.
That is a quality that Jesus says these people are supposed to be the influencers. Then he says sober-minded,
mm-hmm.
right? Or in some of your translations, like here says temperate.
Temperate.
Well, you guys think of it, you know what a temperate climate is? Not too hot. We live in a temperate climate, right? But the opposite of that would be someone who is like hot or hot, mm-hmm. hot-headed.
Hot-headed.
Hot-head.
Headed.
Right, so real quick story. So Evie and I were driving. Evie's in the Be the Bridge class right now. Evie and I were driving the other day, and we were coming on 77 North, where it merges into 76 West, and then you can go left to the east, and then right, you can go to east. Yeah. So we were going west. There was a guy next to us who was in the eastbound lane, and he was like a few cars ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And we're like a little bit behind him, and we're going west. So we're all in our lanes, and we're going to go different ways. And this guy realizes he's in the wrong lane. Mm-hmm. And quickly, right, he's frazzled and kind of see him. He puts his blinker on to come left. And so there's two things you could do. I could speed up and try to get around him, or I can slow down and let him go in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I'd say for me to speed up and get around him, he wouldn't have time to get over, and he'd be in big trouble. So I just slow down. And this guy also started to slow down, right? We didn't communicate here. I think he wanted me to speed up. I don't know what he wanted, but I slowed down. He had his blinker on to come over in my lane, and I just like keep deferring, like keep giving way. Like I'm seeking to serve this guy because now he wants to go west and not east, right? Bad last minute decision, but I'm going to serve my fellow citizen here.
Yes.
So finally, he gets the idea that I'm slowing down and then I'm giving way to him, and then he merges over into our lane. But for some reason, he wasn't pleased about that transaction. And so he puts his arm out the window and does like one of these things. Now, I don't think a digit came up when he did this, right? But I could tell by the waving of the arm, he was unhappy about that.
Yes.
And Evie was like dumbfounded. Like, how is it that this, like, we just served this guy.
Mm-hmm.
We gave way to him.
Yes.
And like somehow in serving him, he got angry at us.
Yes.
And so, like, so what we, what Evie and I had a phenomenal conversation. So what we got to witness was a hot-headed individual
mm-hmm.
who would try to bring accusation against me for I don't know what, but the accusation wouldn't stick because what we were doing was giving way.
Yes.
We were deferring to him. We were making ourselves, right, we were submitting so that he could have his way, but yet he was still angry.
Yes.
Right? He's a hot-headed individual.
Hot-headed individual.
And then Evie and I got to have this phenomenal conversation about, hey, Evie, there's people like that in the world. And right now, what we could do is we could put our arms out the window and do this back to him, right?
Right.
But that's not who we are, right? So this guy's clearly got some things that he's dealing with, but that need not affect us. Let us be temperate, sober-minded. I didn't use this language. I would have if we were preaching this week.
Right.
Let us be temperate and sober-minded. Let us maintain our peace,
yes.
Even though this guy has not maintained his peace. Even though we're seeking to serve him, he's angry at us. Hey, that's just how some people are, and so we'll let him be him. And then we'll maintain the peace of Jesus, right?
Yes.
But temperance comes from not responding to
yes.
the angst and the anger and the frustration of the world that wants to assault us at varying points,
yes.
even as we're seeking to bless it, right? So anyway, that was just a cool story from this week.
And as believers, we should be seeking, and we should be some of the clearest-minded,
yep.
sober-thinking people on the planet.
Yep.
And that is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us clarity, to be seekers of the truth so that we can influence from a place of good character.
Absolutely.
And I don't do the birds out the windows anymore, so God
anymore.
Is alive. No birds out the window anymore.
No, I'm not gonna,
I just keep it moving.
I'm not, for the record, I'm not going to ask you the date at which that stopped.
Okay.
We're just going to say
Thank
some
you.
Point in the past.
at some point
in the past, the gestures out the window stopped.
Right.
Right? And then Paul continues, right, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable. Let's skip over. And then he says later, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. Right? Like these are some significant character qualities here that will change the flavor of relationships if people who carry these things are living in relationship with each other, right? And so this week, the reason why we're doing the sermon together is because we had an interesting experience
yes.
this week.
Yes, we did. We had quite a God-centered discussion this week.
We did.
Which let me say this correctly. It led to a God-centered discussion. You
yeah.
want to start in?
Well, so here's the deal. So Keith and I are both elders here, and we have things that we discuss and need to work through as elders. And so and we had a conversation early in the week on the phone.
Yes.
Where Keith was seeking to influence me,
mm-hmm.
and I was seeking to influence him.
Yes.
And in that conversation, neither of us were receiving very well the influence of the other.
Yes.
Right? So Keith, you make a point.
Yes.
And I'd have a point.
Yes.
And then you had a point.
Yes.
And then I had a point.
Right? And I had a couple
and after 20 minutes of point to point right. of trying to influence each other but not receiving the right. influence, right? We found ourselves in a place of a little bit of frustration.
Yes, yes. Now let me break it down for y'all. He said it real nice. We fell out. We had a disagreement, but we were coming from a place of, I'm going to win the argument. My idea is better than yours.
I was going to crush you.
And he don't know I already have my boys lined up outside his house. But I want to say that because it is what happened as a result of that is what God is intended for us. You know, a lot of times the enemy is seeking to divide us, all right? And in this particular case, and as we get to the end of this story, you will find that what the enemy intended for evil, God worked out for good.
That's what he does.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here's what Keith and I got to. So after our phone call, then 2 days later, we got together in person for coffee.
Yes.
I don't know what I had to drink, but we met.
We met.
Yeah. I had tea. That was good. Okay, sorry. So here's the problem, right? And so Keith and I experienced, in our first conversation to our second conversation, right, these verses exploded off of the page in our
yes.
experience, right?
Yes.
There's a problem when we desire to influence others, or let me say it this way. There's a problem when our desire to influence each other exceeds our love mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. each other.
Come
right?
on.
Because here's the thing.
Say that again, Pastor. Right? Say
there's
that
a
again.
Problem when my desire to influence you is greater than my love for you.
Amen.
Because here's how it works out. If my desire to influence you is greater than my love for you, when you don't follow my influence, mm-hmm. it's going to lead me to become, in my relationship with you and in myself, the exact opposite of all the character qualities that Paul has just laid out, right? So when I want to influence you more than I love you, and you don't listen to me, what I'm prone to become is hot-headed, not
yes.
temperate.
Yes.
I'm prone to become quarrelsome.
Yes.
I'm prone to become not respectful, but disrespectful. I'm not prone to be hospitable towards you, but inhospitable, right?
Yes. Yes.
And when I'm prone towards, Paul says, violence. We're not supposed to be violent with each other, but like I'm feeling violent things in my heart for Minister Kirkland, right?
Right.
So watch out, watch your coffee drink, because Pastor Brian might do something to it, right? So when our desire to influence others exceeds our love for the other, when they do not listen to us, then there are problems, and it just wells out from that place, which is very interesting in the context of Timothy, right? Because here's where we are in chapter 3. In chapter 1 of Timothy, verse 5, Paul says this. We've talked about this quite a bit. Paul says, it's 1 Timothy 1:5, the aim or the goal, the aim of our charge here, Timothy, is love. Everything I'm saying to you, all the instructions, everything is to move you and your church to a place of deep love for one another, right? The goal here, we're talking about influence in chapter 3, right? The goal is not influence, that you would grow in your influence. That's not the end game. The end game is love, and to the end of love, we want to have influence
yes.
with one another.
Yes.
And so if I love you more than I desire to influence you, if you are not receptive to my influence, I still love you, and I'm patient, and I'm
yes.
kind, and maybe now I'm humble, and I will hear what you're saying and share your perspective and have insight into why you are not receiving my influence. Because
mm-hmm.
when right, love, I think Paul says this somewhere else, love covers a multitude,
multitude.
And we in our second conversation this week, we started, like you, after our phone call, you texted me. I texted you and said, hey, let's get together.
Mm-hmm.
You texted back and said, hey, brother, I love you. And yeah, let's meet. I love you.
Yes.
Right? You led with love. And then
love.
We sat down and talked. It was still an honest conversation.
Honest conversation.
We still didn't necessarily, we kind of agreed and kind of didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But love.
Yes.
Love trumped our desire to be, right, to see it the way I see it.
Yes.
And that conversation was a beautiful thing. And then we prayed at the end. And all through this, I was like in this environment where
yes.
the world is the antithesis of this, right? we just had this sense that we needed, as elders of the church, in a very divided and divisive world full of opinions where everyone's trying to influence everybody above their love for everybody,
yes.
Right? We needed to be contagions and share a beautiful redemptive story about how all of this that Paul is saying in 1 Timothy is absolutely true.
Yes.
And it is right and it is good.
It's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul further instructed us on that conversation from Ephesians. And from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he tells when dealing with one another, we deal with all humility.
Yep.
It was a very humbling experience to meet with my pastor with gentleness. It was a gentle, very gentle meeting with patience. I was showing so much patience.
You were awesome.
with forbearance. And, you know, I wanted to just spend just a short time on that word forbearance. Sometimes people don't quite understand what that means. That means patient self-control. Husbands.
Wow.
Wives. Brothers, sisters.
Yeah, that's good.
Elders. And learning to have tolerance for one another. So in other words, my thing is not important, more important than my love for you. That is what God is trying to teach us. That is what Paul is instructing us through his word, that our operation must be from a place of love.
Yep, absolutely. And then just a couple things just to drive this home, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs here. But I've got a friend who works at a very large and nationally influential church in Atlanta. And I deeply respect this church. And one of their axioms, or one of like their core themes, is that they want to be influence hungry. Meaning as a church and as individuals in the church, that they want to grow in their ability to influence the people around them. And so they will seek greater and greater levels of influence. And to that, Paul says, that is really good, mm-hmm. Right? Because right, here's a trustworthy saying, if anybody aspires to the office of overseer, to be an influencer, he desires a noble task. It is a good thing to want to have an impact in the lives of the people around you and to pursue that, right? That is a good thing. But Paul says, you must get the right order first, right? First, be a love-driven person.
Yes.
1 Timothy 1:5, the aim of our charge is love. That's what it's all about, right? God is love. He wants us to love. That's it. So first, be a love-driven person. Second, allow Jesus to make you and to form you and
yes.
me and us and to fashion us into being these 1 Timothy 3 kinds of people, that we would be deep character people, not just virtue signaling mm-hmm. as if we think we have it or we want others to believe we have it, but we don't. No, let him change us
change
into
us.
Becoming these kinds of people. And then, three, right? First, be a love-driven person. Second, allow Jesus to grow his character in us. And then thirdly, then be influence hungry. Then, from that place, our influence will be beautiful.
Yes.
It will be powerful. It will be effective.
It'll be effective. This world is longing for people of influence from good character. As we watch the world, the country, spin out of control,
yeah.
We are salt and light. Jesus wants us to be the salt of the earth. Jesus wants us to be that light on a hill. The church's responsibility is to first influence from a place of good character in this body, and then to take that to everyone around us, coming from a place of love, influencing from a place of love, drawing people to Christ from a place of love. I will be praying for me and you and all of us, that we continue to grow in that place of love so that we can be those influencers of great character.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, band, come on back up here. I'm going to pray for us. Would you guys join me? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Minister Kirkland and I for the experience that we had this week to really see and to experience how your word is living and active and how it is alive. And when we submit ourselves to you and your instructions, that incredibly beautiful things happen. And Father, it is our prayer that you would do this in and among our church body, that you would allow us to be people who are driven by love, that love just flows out of us because we're receiving it from you. I pray that from that place that you would allow us to grow deeply in our character, that we would become deep,
yes,
substanced,
yes,
people who look like Jesus because we're receiving you and your inputs into our life. And then from that place, Father, I do pray that like the church in Atlanta, that we would be influence hungry from a place of love, from a place of deep character, that we would be viral infections that would catch the world around us, and that you would allow your kingdom to break in to this very broken and fractured and dark place, that your light and your love and your peace would flood in, that Jesus and the hope that he is and the hope that he brings,
yes,
would,
yes,
accompany us, yes, as we live, and that it would linger long after we're gone because we've planted seeds of who you are and what you have done.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for loving us so well.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, that you reign over us as a crucified king, that your blood still covers us and is poured out over us, that your resurrection power animates us and that your spirit leads us. We want to be people who walk in this manner. Would you help us as a church, Father? Would you guide us and empower us to be these people, especially in these crazy, divisive, divided,
yes, yes,
days when everyone is influence hungry,
we
but not
you,
a
Jesus.
Lover of the other. Would you do this among us for your glory and for our joy? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.